Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Most people spend their entire lives building something, a career, a home, stability. But what happens when you walk away from all of it? Not because you have to, but you choose to. Today, I'm joined by Allison Eshin. Allison and her husband did something most people would never even consider. They sold everything they owned. They set out to sail around the world. And for the past 8 years, they've traveled to over 50 countries, living a life of powered by the wind, sun, and complete uncertainty. But this isn't just about travel. This is about risk, identity, fear, and redefining what a meaningful life actually looks like. Allison, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Now, let's start with the moment everything changed. What made you decide to walk away from your life on land?
Well, it began actually way back when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I lived on a farm in upstate New York. And I was out barefoot walking through the grass, I guess on the way to the garden or something. And I had this vision that I was standing on a boat, and the boat was being powered by the wind. It was a sailboat, and we were flying across the water, and it was just mesmerizing. And I don't really know where that came from, because the only body of water around us were, you know, was a small pond. So yeah, Sailing wasn't something that I was around or that I saw. And I thought to myself, how cool would it be to sail all the way around the world someday? So fast forward to college, and I took up competitive sailing, and my mom also decided she wanted to be a competitive sailor, and she and my dad retired in New Bern, North Carolina, and she bought a sailboat and began sailing on the Pamlico Sound.
Wow.
And she was an amazing captain and started winning all these really big regattas. And then she had this wonderful regatta coming up that I wanted to be in. And I was 4 hours away and at UNCC. And I drove the 4 hours there. And my cousin happened to have brought down with him his workmate at the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard, who was a merchant marine, graduated from Kings Point, and a 3-time national dinghy champion. And he brought him to be a ringer on my mom's boat. So we spent the weekend together, and he was the most amazing person I'd ever met in my life. And we were at a bar. We were having a beer. He was getting ready to go back to Philadelphia, and I was getting ready back to go back to UNCC. And he goes, "Someday I want to sail around the world." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, me too. We have to get married." So we did. So less than a year later, his dad was a Lutheran minister, and he married us on the lawn where we met, the, you know, the country club lawn, or the yacht club lawn where we met. And the rest is history. I moved to Philly, and he built me a beautiful horse farm because I came with horses. So right over the river in New Jersey from Philadelphia. And we had 3 kids right away. But when our last child got married, he looked at me one day and he said, "It's time." I'm like, "Time for what?" And he said, "We're going to do it. We're going to make a 5-year plan. We're going to sell everything we own, and we're going to fulfill our dream, and we're going to sail around the world." And so that's what we're doing.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, was there a fear, like, or did it feel like something that you had to do?
There was no fear. There was just excitement and a lot of challenges. I mean, we had to educate ourselves. You don't undertake something like this without really being informed. So we traveled around the country going to boat shows, and boat shows have these awesome seminars where they teach you everything from engine maintenance to provisioning to, you know, the best new equipment. So we spent a lot of time traveling and doing these boat shows and learning what we needed to do. And one of the things that we did is we had listened to this man give a seminar on sailing in storms, which I guess was a big fear for me. I can't say I didn't have any fears for me. It was like, what happens if we get in this big storm? And this guy had been a delivery boat captain, and he had crossed the ocean, crossed oceans like, you know, 20 some times in different boats. And he had been in 3 hurricanes and 2 typhoons on a boat in the ocean. So he knew about sailing in storms, and he offered a heavy weather training passage where he did a take you to do a 1,000-mile passage over 10 days and sail in heavy weather. You go to the trade winds in the part of the year that most people don't sail in. So you know there's going to be big waves and big seas. And so we did that because my husband had crossed ships, crossed oceans on merchant ships. You know, he had been out in the ocean. I had not, other than maybe a cruise ship, but that's not the same thing. So I'm like, I needed to have this experience. So when we completed that, he goes, "You guys are going to be great. You're going to be just fine." And he gave us his stamp of approval that we were good to go.
Wow, that is so amazing. Now, a lot of people dream about making a big change, but they never do it. Like, what do you think actually stops people?
Fear. If you want it bad enough, then even if you have some fear issues or you have some reservations, you learn to overcome them. You know, this is a dramatic, was a dramatic life change. I mean, selling our house, our car, we have no possessions on land, none. Everything I own can fit in one bag that I treasure. And that's extremely liberating. I mean, there's no feeling in the world like just living on a boat and being in control of your own destiny and not having, you know, places to go, payments to make, any of the jobs and getting where you need to go and seeing amazing things and, you know, enjoying what you have. And it's just a different way to experience life. And it's not for everybody. This is a very, very difficult lifestyle and it's very trouble-ridden. And it's not if something will go wrong, it's when something will go wrong. So we've been in five countries now, waiting 3 months or more for boat parts. Because when something breaks, and if you don't have a spare, you have to get that part. And you don't know where in the world it's going to come from or how you're going to get it to your boat. So we have been in this harbor. We're currently in the French Polynesians in the Marquesan Islands on the island of Nuku'ahiwa. And we got here in October and our engine broke, a part inside of our engine broke. And even though we went back to the US for the holidays, November and December, we couldn't find the part anywhere in the world. Nowhere in the world had a spare part for our engine. So we had to come back, take the part out of the boat, ship it to Tahiti. And the guys there said, "Yeah, we can fix it, but we have to order parts for it." So they ordered the parts for it, sent it back to us. Now, this was a 3 month process. We put it back in our engine. We're all excited, like, "Yeah, we're finally going to be on our way again." We went to start the engine, clunk. It didn't work. They didn't fix the part.
Oh,
So
wow.
now we are ordering our own parts, getting them shipped directly to the boat, and then my husband's going to try to fix it himself. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong and things you can't anticipate, but we've learned that we're exactly where we need to be when we need to be there. There's usually some reason, like it's amazing. I put this in my books that whatever delays we have or why, you know, when we're somewhere we don't think we're supposed to be, something amazing happens that says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad that we're here right now."
Oh, wow. That's totally amazing. Now, was there anything that almost stopped you?
Yes. Our very first ocean crossing, when we finally, you know, we did the east coast of the US and got our feet wet, so to speak, and got used to our boat and everything, and we're ready to cross our first ocean. Have you seen the movie A Perfect Storm?
No, I haven't, but tell me.
So it's a fishing boat that's out going out to sea. You know, this is before they had the weather trackers that we have. And two storms converge together. And when they converge, they create massive waves and massive winds and really horrible conditions. And of course, it's a very famous story in that everybody on that boat perished. I mean, they all died. But we got caught in that exact same scenario. We were trying to cross. The first event to cross is getting across the Gulf Stream, which is this big river that runs underwater up along the east coast of the United States. And crossing it can be, you know, kind of rough sometimes. We got across the Gulf Stream just fine. And then it was like 5 in the morning when it was my time to go up on deck. And Dan goes down to go to bed because you have to take watches all night long. And it was still dark out. And so I'm up there, you know, watching all the instrumentation and doing whatever I'm supposed to do. And then the sun starts to rise. And all of a sudden, I see this giant wave coming towards me. And I'm like, "Holy crap." And then the boat just kind of rises up and over it. And then it goes down the other side. And I'm going, Well, that didn't feel so bad. And then all of a sudden, I see another one coming, and I'm like, I've been in waves this size, and I didn't know it because it was dark. So I'm
Yeah.
pounding on the floor. I guess his bed is underneath the cockpit area. So I'm pounding on the floor and I'm screaming, Dan, you got to get up here. You got to get up here. So he comes up, and the waves started getting bigger and bigger. And I said, I can't handle this. I can't. I can't. I just went down, got into my bunk, and just like kind of huddled there. And the waves got bigger and bigger. And what happened is because the storms were compressing them together, it was causing them to break quicker. And now we had 20-foot waves crashing on the deck of our boat.
Oh, wow.
And so in my bunk, as I'm, I have two windows on each side, and I could see white water on each side of going across our deck, which means that we were submarining. The waves were hitting us. We were actually going underwater and popping up on the other side. So it was really dangerous. And what happened was we had our dinghy strapped to some handrails on the front of the boat. The waves were so big that it ripped the handrails out of the boat and washed the dinghy through the lifeline. So it broke the lifelines. And now this, 500-pound dinghy is slamming against our boat, and it's tied to the base of the mast. So it's threatening to take our mast off. If you lose your mast, you're in really big trouble. So my husband had called me back up because you have to come here. You have to do this. And he puts his, life vest on, and he clips in because there's a line that keeps you tied to the boat. And he had to go up, and he had to cut that dinghy free. Otherwise, we would have been in huge trouble. And when he cut it free, and I saw how quickly it was lost in those waves, I mean, it was a blink of an eye and it was gone. I'm like, if he goes in, I'm going with him because I am not staying on this boat in this storm. I'd rather die out there with him than be here. And then he had to
Oh
go
my
up
God.
all the way to the bow because the anchor had gotten loosened and it was banging against the front of the boat and was threatening to put a hole because the anchor weighs 70 pounds. It's metal and it's sharp, and it was gonna break our bow. So he had to go up on the front where it was really bad. And when we would drop over a wave, he would actually get airborne. He would actually like come off the deck because it was such a drop down the other side of the wave. So, to make a long story short, we survived it. But when we finally called somebody at shore, a cousin of mine, he said, "You have to get off the Atlantic now." He goes, "There's another storm coming." So we did an 800-mile loop, or I mean 500-mile loop, and ended up 10 miles from where we started with
Oh my God.
$14,000 worth of damage to our boat.
Oh
So,
my.
it was just that the insurance paid for everything, but what it did to me on the inside, my very first ocean crossing, and that horror of thinking we were going to die out there caused me a lot of anxiety. So, I need to take a sip of water. So, we eventually got ourselves worked out again, and we did cross the Atlantic. But every time the weather started getting worse than predicted and the waves started building higher than they were supposed to be, I had severe anxiety. And I said, I don't think I can do this. Like, the anxiety I have is not worth it. So, fast forward to we're in the Caribbean, and I kept saying, tomorrow's the day I'm going to wake up and tell them I can't cross the ocean because our next crossing was coming up. We're going to be going to Europe. And I'd say, today's the day I'm going to tell them I can't do it, that you have to get crew. I'll fly and meet you there, but I can't cross oceans with you. So we pull into this harbor, St. Martin. There's 100 boats in the harbor. And we have something called AIS, which tells you the names of the boats around you and a little information about them. Three boats away, guess who was there? The man who we did our heavy weather training passage with, our mentor, John Kretschmer. So I call him on the radio and I'm like, John, is Dan and Allison? And we have our boat, because he actually like gave us a list of the boats that we should buy, like top five list. And we went on his recommendation. We found the boat number one on the list that he said we should have. And I was really excited about it. So he says, well, come on over for happy hour. So we get in our dinghy and we go over there for happy hour. And there's a couple other people there. And finally, he turns to me and he goes, so Allison, how's it going? And I'm like, John, it's really bad. We were in this storm. And I explained the whole thing to him, like everything that happened. And he starts laughing and he goes, do you know how lucky you are? And I'm like, no. And he goes, your boat did fine. Your husband did fine. And he goes, most importantly, you're still out here. He goes, do you know what the first thing the majority of people would have done after that? They would have sold the boat and never sailed again. He goes, but
Yeah.
you are still out here. And the chances of that you ever being in that situation again, that perfect storm situation, is like
Yeah.
zero. And
Right.
you live through it. He says, you are going to be fine. And he was the only person in the world that could have looked at me and told me that, and I would have believed him.
Right. Wow. That's an amazing story. And that's so scary. Some people would emotionally just like break down. That's an insane story. You said something really powerful. That is life is difficult, but it's incredible. What are the parts that people don't see?
The parts that people don't see because they're like, oh, you're privileged, you're living on a boat sailing around the world. Well, what they don't see is the amount of work, A, that it took to get here, and B, the problems and issues we have, every single day. Like something breaks, something goes wrong. We've had some amazing ocean crossings. Like when we came across the Atlantic, it was so peaceful and wonderful, and just it's really hard to describe how I used to be afraid to be out in the middle of the ocean and so far away from land. I felt alone. And then you reach a point where all of a sudden you feel part that this is your home, that you're in an ocean and you're not far away from your sh from shore. You're exactly, you're part of this world. This is your home in the middle of the ocean, and your whole perspective shifts. And I finally got to that point, and I'd heard other people, I've heard a lot of like old men sailors, gripe and complain and say, oh, I hate ports. I just want to be out in the ocean. And I could never understand it. And then one day, I finally embraced it, because your whole life revolves around the sunrise and the sunset and the dolphins swimming up to the bow of your boat and playing in the water around you. And, the birds, I've had birds land on our boat. They've like landed on me. They've like landed on my hand or landed on my knee. And I just sit there and talk to them, and it's just, we're all part of the same world when you're out there, and it's amazing. But then when we crossed the Pacific, coming where we are now, we had a horrible time, horrible, horrible time. And we actually lost our autopilot and our steering 680 miles from shore. And thank God my husband is like Boat MacGyver. And he was able to get the steering cables tightened so he could still steer. But now we've had to hand steer because normally the autopilot does all the steering. And our boat is really big and old and heavy, so it's h physically hard to steer. And because we're in 10-foot wave all the way across, and that was a really, really big challenge, because when you're hand steering, there's no rest. I could do it for 30 minutes before I was like physically exhausted, and my husband would do 3 hours, and then he. I would do 30 minutes. And so that was like a really difficult thing for us to do, but we did it. And then when we finally reached, that island came into view after you've been 4,000 miles across an ocean, and that island finally like emerges in onto the horizon. It's the most incredible feeling. Like, it's just amazing.
Wow, that is so amazing. What has been the hardest part of this journey?
Finding spare parts, definitely. Because while you have spare parts on your boat, there are things that break that you don't know are going to break, or like something inside of our engine broke and there was no spare part anywhere. So that's the hardest part. So we've been in five countries now for 3 months or more, just waiting for a spare part to arrive for our boat. And sometimes that's discouraging. And you're like, why is this happening? But 90% of the time, something amazing happens during that wait that makes us realize that we're exactly where we are when we're supposed to be there. So we trust the journey now. We trust that this is not our timeline. This is a timeline that destiny or God or whatever has set forth, and we're just here to follow it at that timeline and stop stressing about it.
Now, when you walk away from everything, you're not just changing your lifestyle, you're changing who you are. How was that journey? Like, how did it change you as a person?
Well, it changed me a ton because my entire life up until we started sailing, I was doing things for other people. You know, I was a school teacher, which is a very taxing job.
Yes, it
I
is.
had an equestrian program, which meant I had, you know, a dozen horses and I had students, and my whole summers were spent traveling with horses and busloads of kids to go to these competitions all over the country. And you have to keep up your home, you have to keep up, you know, everything that's in your life. And you're just so hyper focused every second of the day, from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, I was doing something for other things or other people. And now living this life, which, yes, is stressful, and we still have a lot of work to do, you know, fixing the boat and cleaning the bottom and just finding a grocery store to get food. Sometimes we have to walk miles just to get to this little grocery store with barely anything in it. But it's all for us, you know, it's all as part of our journey. So I'm experiencing life on a whole different level. I've just changed, like, who I am, basically, from a person of service to a person that's having adventures and enjoying my life.
Now, most people would, choose security over freedom. Like, what have you learned from that trade-off?
You can have make the choice to be secure your whole life, but you're not going to have the experiences that truly fulfill you. So, you know, I think, and I think people kind of have a misconception about security. Like they're thinking, well, that's a very unsafe life, and then that sounds, you know, terrible with everything that you're going through. But we also have developed a very high level of competence, and we're able to handle situations that arise. And there's nothing, and we've had about everything that could go wrong, and we've handled every single one of them. So I think that if you make yourself strong enough and knowledgeable in whatever field you choose or whatever adventure you undertake, you're going to be okay, and you have to trust in that process.
Now, do you think people overestimate what they need to feel when it comes to feeling safe?
I guess it depends on what your physical abilities are. You know, I wouldn't recommend this life to somebody who was not physically strong and very healthy. So I think it's important that you know your limits.
Yeah, I agree. That's very true. Now, let's bring it back to the listener. Now, if someone feels stuck in their life right now, what's the one step that they can take toward change?
Well, you have to make a game plan. And you have to educate yourself. So you've got to know the realities of what it is that you really want to do to make an informed decision. Do I really want to make that change? And you have to talk to people who are doing it. And you have to go to seminars. You have to read books. You have to really immerse yourself in it and then make the decision to change. You don't jump into it and say, oh, well, I'll learn as I go along. You know, for us, that would have killed us. We wouldn't have survived. So it's all about learning and then making the commitment to do it. Once you know the facts and you feel like, oh, you know, I think I could do this, you have to take a leap of faith. But you don't take that leap without doing your groundwork first.
That's so true. Now, what's one mindset shift that changed everything for you?
I think it's the we're exactly where we are when we need to be there, because I had so much anxiety over not being on the plan that we had planned to be. We were never in a country or a place when we planned to be there, not once. Like, for instance, we get to Ireland and COVID hits and we get stuck there for 2 years.
Oh
You
my
know, we could not
goodness.
leave the harbor for 2 years. So I gave my husband 10 years to sail around the world. And he goes, well, these 2 years don't count because, you know, I couldn't foresee this happening. So, you know, you got to give me 2 more years on our timeline, babe. And I'm like, but at this point, I don't even really care because, you know, it's just timelines are not a thing here.
Oh, for sure. Now, after everything you've experienced, do you ever regret the decision?
Not for one single solitary second.
I love it. And We talk about anxiety a lot on this show. Like, how did you overcome the moments of anxiety? Because you went through quite a bit. So, there has been plenty of moments where you were hit with anxiety. How did you cope with the anxiety and how did you get through it?
I did, like I said, when I before I ran into our mentor, I wasn't coping well with it. And then I guess having faith is what got me through it because there are still moments when I'm anxious, uncomfortable, things get so uncomfortable sometimes when you're in really rough weather.
Oh, yeah.
But I've learned that I've let that stop really making me anxious because I know we're safe. My husband would not be there and doing what we're doing if we were not safe. So
Right.
you have to kind of figure out what your demons are
Yeah.
and what makes you anxious, and then look at them realistically. Like, is this a situation where I should have anxiety? And
Right.
it's not. Now, if something really catastrophic goes wrong, like losing your engine, fortunately we got to harbor and got the anchor down. We weren't like stranded out at sea without an engine because you need them to get into ports and put your anchor down.
Yeah.
Something like that. You're going to have anxiety, but you need to think and problem solve and put that in the forefront instead of just sitting there and worrying about it and being anxious about it. So you got to give yourself tasks like, what can I do? How can I help make the situation better? Because the moment that
Yes.
you just follow in self-pity, it's not productive anymore. And you got to
Right.
allow yourself to say, okay, I'm anxious about this, but then now what can I do about it?
Exactly. Now you are an amazing author and you've written more than one book. Can you tell us about your books?
So I did start writing before we left because I was an English major and I really wanted to be a journalist when I grew up, but my life kind of took a real hard left turn when I met my husband and that like all went out the window. So I started out teaching high school English, but I didn't like it because the kids walked in the room and they hated English class in high school. Like they didn't want to be there and I just found that a really toxic environment. So I went and got my elementary ed certification and started teaching third grade, and I love that because I could teach kids how to write and I could give them my enthusiasm for writing. And so I did write a couple books before I left. But once I got to my boat, like the opportunity, the stillness and the quietness, the experiences that we have just has absolutely poured gas on the flames of my writing. So I've had produced or written 6 books since we've been out, and I write children's stories. Like, since we're huge ocean lovers, obviously, and we have scuba equipment on board and a compressor to fill our tanks even, so we go scuba diving. And this opens an entire world that most people have never experienced, knowing how many amazing sea creatures. And the water's covered, the ocean's covered by 80, our world is covered by 80% water. And there's this amazing life that people don't even understand exists. That's bigger than the human race, bigger than everything, and it's a magical world. And while I have not yet seen a mermaid, I did write my mermaid, 2 mermaid books, and all of the sea life is real. So it educates kids about the ocean life and the creatures, and in the back are glossaries with real sea facts about, the things that they've read about in the books. So Sienna and Marlin are my first 2 children's early reader chapter books. And then I have 2 nonfiction books about our voyage, the first 3 years and the next 2 years. And my third one is going to be probably coming out next month. And then I have a book that was inspired by a dream that I had because I had horses all my life. And we named our boat Equus, which is Latin for horse. And we have a giant spinnaker that we put when we're going downwind. It's a big ballooning sail out the front of the boat. It has a giant horse head on it. So my sea pony takes me across the oceans now. So that's my connection to horses still. But I had this dream about horses because unfortunately I had to get up every single day and feed and take care of horses. So when I sleep at night, I have these dreams that I have to go take care of the horses. And it's really aggravating because I'm still feeding them and taking care of them. And I don't even have any. But, and there were always horses that I knew that I had in my dreams. Well, I had this dream. And these horses, I didn't know them, and I was really shocked because I'm like, "What? Who are these horses?" And what I came to realize in my dream was they could see inside the hearts of humans, and they were looking to see if the humans were good or if they were not good. And I'm like, what a cool premise for a book. So I
Right.
started researching horses over the ages and learned how incredible they were to man civilization. Like they were used to, to conquer in war and battles, to conquer new territories. They plowed fields, they carried supplies. They allowed explorers to travel distances, and they actually are responsible for civilizing our world. They without
Yeah.
them we would have never. But yet, it's people are more comfortable getting behind the wheel of a car than they are standing next to a horse.
Right.
So humans are losing their appreciation of the gift of the earth. So my book, The Seven, takes seven characters from different continents and around the world, and they're chosen from the pool of humanity to decide if humans appreciate the gifts of the earth. And seven horses are their judges. So they each have an encounter with the horse. The horse, decides if they're a person who appreciates the gifts or they're not. And then
Yeah.
the ending, they all are thrown together. And all of the cultures, their occupations, and everything about their stories are 100% factual. So you learn about
Right.
the culture from seven different places in the world, and what it looks like in their histories.
Yeah.
And then they all pull together as humanity, not as seven people from different skin colors, different religions, different places, but as just humans. And
Yes.
they are deciding, whether or not humanity will be saved or and wiped out to start again, or if they'll be saved. And that's the whole premise of the seven.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And when is your new book? When is it going to be launched?
So my third Riding the Waves of Reality book will hopefully be launched next month. Fortunately, I really lucked out. My husband is an amazing editor and cover designer and formatter. So when I'm writing, we're a one shop, we're a well-machined, a well-oiled machine here, because I do the writing and he does the publishing for me.
Yeah.
So I don't have to, hire anybody to do all that stuff, and it's really great and it works well.
I love that. I love that. That is amazing. From our discussion today, what is, maybe one or two things you want people to remember from our conversation as we begin to close?
That if you have a dream and you're really serious about it, don't let fear stop you from doing it. I mean, like I said, you have to educate yourself and you have to make sure everything is right with it. But if you don't do it, if you don't follow it, you'll regret it the rest of your life. So take a chance, educate
Yeah.
yourself and be sure that you can do it. But it's so worth it. Living life on your terms instead of living for everything and everybody else.
I love that. And it's so true. And it's so powerful. Now, where can people find you?
So I have two places they can find me. One is my travel blog. It's called Sailmates, like Soulmates, but Sailmates dot O-R-G dot org. And every time we go to a new country and a new place, I'm an avid photographer, so I do the pictures and I do the stories and the history of that place. And it just talks about our journey. So you get to, and actually on the top is a our links, and one of them is Equus tracker, so you can click on that and see. It'll show you a map of the world, and it'll show you exactly
Yeah.
where our boat is at any given moment. And
I
then
love
I
that.
have my author website, which is AllisonGeeshan.com, and all my books are on there as well as Amazon. And they can just click on any book cover, and it will take them to Amazon. And I do stories, author stories, on there, and I have things like stories behind the story. So you can click on every character in my book, The Seven, and it'll tell you why I chose them and what their personal connection is to me.
I love that. Now, are you also on social media?
Oh yeah, all over the place. So Instagram, Facebook, we have a YouTube channel and I do videos, and so you can see us, bike riding in some island somewhere, or we have fun adventures and hikes and swimming waterfalls and all that kind of stuff. So the YouTube channel is Sailing Equus, and yeah, so we're all over the place. Instagram, I do like the other day I had manta rays swimming around our boat. They were giant manta rays, and normally they just pass by, but they spent 30 minutes like so close I could reach out and touch their fins to our
Wow.
boat. So I also write music. So I like make a manta ray song, and then I make like a music video to go with this amazing manta ray experience we had. So
Yeah.
Instagram, I post like, or if we have a gorgeous sunset, because like we'll go out and just bring our chairs and sit on the deck, have happy hour and watch the sunset. And if it's
Right.
an amazing sunset, then I share it. So that's almost daily on Instagram and Facebook.
I love that. That is amazing. For the listeners, I want them to remember that most people wait for the right time to change in their life. But the truth is that, the moment rarely ever comes. Sometimes we just have to create it and go for it. And you've basically, you have really, been a great example of that. I feel like, sometimes we're so scared of change. So many people fear change, but sometimes you just gotta face your fears. And if you really want something deep down in your heart, you just have to go for it, and you're a clear example of that. And I love the fact that, you let your heart really guide you, and you just, you overcame your fears, and, you've gone through moments of anxiety and fear, because the journey isn't perfect, just like life isn't perfect. We go through moments where we get scared, we panic, we have anxiety because things don't exactly go the way we plan, and it's never going to go the way we plan. It's just that that's not just not something that exists in our human world. But you have taken your life and you just went with it. You had something in your heart. Your husband had something in his heart that he wanted to do, and you both went for it. And I think that is amazing what you do. And I love the fact that you're creating books now and that you're showing your journey on social media. And you're really being an example to people, showing them people that anything is possible if you really put your mind to it and you really have a goal or passion or, something that really drives you. You just go for it. So, I really commend you. I commend your strength. I commend you, the ability to really make your dreams become a reality. You're a true example of what everybody wants to be, and sometimes people are just scared to be because they just stay in that safe zone. And, you're showing people it's okay to go out of the safe zone, to take a chance, and to follow your dreams, because you'll have, one chance on this planet while you're here, and you might as well, do what really, makes you happy.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, I thank you so much for being on the show, and you have been an amazing guest, and I hope you'll come back and we can share some more stories together. But thank you so much. You're just an amazing individual, and I can't wait to see your new book.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a really fun conversation.
Same here. Same here. You have a great day.
Thank you, you too.